handing them girls loose.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fan, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. You guys, obviously, excited to talk about the Browns and the Bengals, maybe a little bit Ray Farmer as well. Let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Cherokee Ray in Farmdale, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good afternoon to you as well.
It's a glorious day to be a Browns fan, and as one of the Dog Pound founders with all the guys from Menor and Wycliffe and Willoughby and Bedford and all us guys from Trumbull County, Mahoney County, and in Ashbyville County, we all wish you well, and guess what? Number one's up for grabs, and I just feel so proud to be a Browns fan today.
That's awesome.
I had to bring it out.
That's awesome, Cherokee Ray. We're all proud, too. It's a big game. It's exciting to see what the Browns are going to do kind of in a measuring stick game. I think it's going to be an important one. Obviously, listen, Vegas not giving them a lot of love. They're saying, you know, six-point underdogs on the road there, but you heard Ross Tucker yesterday say he thinks the Browns certainly have a very good shot in this one, and I think they do too.
And also too, the one other thing in my eyes is the NFL is watching. The NFL decision makers are watching. The NFL scheduling committee is watching too to see how the Browns react in primetime, because as we know, the more wins you have, of course you'll play more primetime games. But I think also too, they're going to be tuned into the ratings. You know, the ratings tonight should be, you know, off the charts in the state of Ohio, you know, in and around the Midwest area, because we are in the most competitive division in football right now with every team above 500. And so that means that Pittsburgh's going to be tuning in. Baltimore fans are going to be tuning in to see what happens, because there are a lot of arrows in and around this area pointing to this game. And as I said yesterday, I truly believe that the personalities in this locker room, and also some of the behind the scenes guys, like a Taylor Gabriel guy, he might not come out and say it, but they're inside, they're chomping at the bit for an ability to showcase their talents.
Oh yeah.
You know, on this national stage, make that one play. A Taylor Gabriel play like he had last week on primetime, you know, now has him on other teams' radar looking at, when is this kid going to hit free agency, because we can get him for, you know, and that's what's cool about the primetime stage.
Give me, and I think you did a lot of it there, but talk to me about, like, legitimately in the locker room before a Sunday 1 o'clock game against the Raiders, okay, or a national TV game. What is it? What's the difference in that locker room?
The difference in the locker room, for I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Hayden, Buster Screen, Tashawn Gibson, and Dante Whitner. Again, I always talk about the defensive backs are like prima donnas. That being said, also maybe not Miles Austin, but Taylor Gabriel, Hawkins, if he plays, they always, like, you always want to do a little something different. Like, there's gonna be more orange tape, or, like, you know, you're gonna wear your socks a different way. You know, you also, like we've seen before with Brandon Marshall wearing, like, a different color shoes, you know, and not worrying about the $8,000 or $9,000 fine on national television. So little things like that always crept into our locker room. Like in San Diego, I know Sean Phillips, a guy who's with the Titans now, would go out and buy, like, yellow tape. Yellow tape's, like, illegal, but he'd take the fine. He'd wrap his arms up, and just little funny things that make it feel
different. So you stand out
different.
A little
so
bit.
You stand
yeah.
out a little bit better, so that when you show out and make the plays, you look fresh. You know, you look clean. You know, you look dope. Whatever that word is that he gives mine.
Like, but Sidney Dean and White Man Can't Jump.
That's right. Exactly. So again, I think as I still say today, it's like, you know, who you are and how you play when the lights shine the brightest. And that's from, you know, the high school level on up. You know, you have X amount of opportunities. You get 16 opportunities per season, and this happens to be our only one to guarantee that everybody is watching. So how we play, our preparation, and I truly believe, I always talk about starting fast and finishing strong. I mean, you got to start fast, and you got to let Cincinnati know that, hey, 17-0, that ain't us. We're a new squad, and punch them in their mouth, get a stop, get a sack, get a pick, or go down and get a score is the best statement in the National Football League.
It would certainly be great, and I do expect them to be amped up when this game starts. Let's go to John in Dallas now here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
I couldn't disagree more with his comments about standing out and one guy wearing yellow tape and one guy wearing pink shoes, whatever. That's the problem with the NFL today. It's a team sport. It should be a team sport. These guys all want to be individuals. They want to be on SportsCenter. They want their brand. Just win the damn game. Win it as a team.
You're right. Why shouldn't they? Well, they should probably pay them all the same amount of money then, too, right?
Oh, get off your horse.
Oh, really? All right. Well, you got that? Okay. Yeah, we're good. So we got John, get some manners down there in Dallas. People from Texas are supposed to be very kind.
Cool. Just because the Cowboys are on a three-game losing streak, don't get
very
mad.
Angry about that. It's interesting that he gets so mad about that because it is something where, listen, football, and you can say it is a team game, and they all want to win for the team. There's no question about that. They're trying to get, you know, if you want to get a little extra shine, there's nothing wrong with that as an individual. But just as Ray Farmer said in his press conference about the cold-hearted side of this business, you've got to do what you can do to get as much money in this short-lived NFL career as you possibly can before it's over.
And Nathan, that's you who has a great understanding of football saying that as a non-football player.
Yeah.
I am a football player who's been there and done that, who has seen my window open and close. Okay, so I understand that. I, you know, and social media wasn't what it was. But again, just another point that, again, from a multi-billion dollar business like television or network television, why in fact do you think that they show, if it's a team sport and Johnny Manziel should be supporting Brian Hoyer and is irrelevant because he's a player on the sidelines not participating in a game, but shown 18 times, you know, in the Browns win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Why? If he's irrelevant and it's a team, shouldn't he be clapping every time Brian Hoyer has a completion? Or he's just standing there as completely irrelevant? It's marketing, it's dollars, it's branding, it's popularity. And that's where my comments were centered at.
And I believe in the NFL, given what I said about the nature of the contracts, the lack of truly guaranteed money, the fact that you could pretty much be out at any time, that these guys should be able to do whatever they can to draw enough attention to themselves. Because ultimately, if you're playing well, you're helping your team win. I think it obviously is about a team game, but I have no problem with a guy doing something a little extra
Flash. You know what it is, Nathan? It's centered around fun. Okay? This game
is... NFL's the no fun league.
Exactly. This game is... And that's why those guys will be fined for tape and socks and shoes and things of that sort. But again, the reason why they do this is because it's a unique opportunity. And it also, too, so they see it as a unique opportunity to set themselves apart only so slightly within reason, Mr. Dallas man, to do what they have to do to just draw a little bit of attention but have fun with this opportunity. And you won't be saying that if Joe Hayden with high socks, low socks, tape on his shoes, wrists, whatever, makes that play to solidify a win, will you?
By the way, nobody's been complaining about the fact that Joe Hayden's been wearing those all brown socks for the last 3 weeks.
Right, and
the Nike
swoosh on his socks when they rode high, you know, being exposed to solidifies a fine. Whether he gets that letter in his locker or not, I don't know. But I'm just saying.
It's just part of the game. All right. Let's go maybe to a more pleasant part of the country. I like Dallas. That was disappointing to me. Ball in North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
hey, 5-3. I'm pumped.
Yes.
And guys, this is such an important game that the media actually kind of ticked me off with some of these non-issue questions that can be disruptive. We got to focus on Cincinnati here. That's what's important.
Correct. There's no question. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, and the other thing about what he said about Josh Gordon, and you know what? Josh Gordon's return, whether he's ready or not, whether he's still got to get used to the offense, you know what? His mere presence will open up the running game, will stretch the field,
no question,
and even open up opportunities for Hawkins, Austin, and Cameron. You know? That's what I got to say, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You appreciate the comments, and you're exactly right. Talk about, because we got into this a little bit, schematically, what does Josh Gordon on the field do to a defense?
Well, he's going to garner a similar attention that if a healthy AJ Green for the Cincinnati Bengals would do. You're going to have him. You're going to have your top corner align on him in most cases, every single play, and then you're going to shade. You might not be a true double, which we saw time and time again with Antonio Brown against the Pittsburgh Steelers, route at First Energy Stadium, where Dante would go immediately to Antonio Brown with screen or Hayden playing outside technique. So that's exactly what he's going to do. So he's just going to garner more attention, which means a Miles Austin, who wins consistently already in man-to-man coverage,
yep,
is going to get their third corner in those nickel situations when he's playing inside. When he's playing outside, he's going to be going against their number two corner consistently with no help. And he's a number two corner for a reason. And in that being said, is I like Hawkins, you know, juice. You know, the way he gets in and out of his cuts and runs his routes, you know, versus a number two or number three corner more consistently. That also, too, might be the thing that we get when we get a healthy Andrew Hawkins back, you know, if and when the time comes, is we can put him back at his appropriate scenario, having him as
back in a slot,
not necessarily
right.
number three, no. but inside playing the slot, working against nickels, guys who are coming from the sideline into the game for one play. Hawkins can do his little skirt, skirt, you know, and get open and convert first downs that way, you know, and you get Gabriel or Austin outside opposite Josh Gordon.
And it's going to create space in the middle of the field for Jordan Cameron. From a linebacker perspective, and when you talk about the safety shading over, talk about how that will help the Browns' run game having Josh Gordon. Because right now there is no one they fear enough to kind of give that shade to.
Sure. Immediately, it takes you out of that eight-man front because
right.
That safety that is usually down, you know, completing that eight-man or being the eighth man, now has to play with more depth, you know, and again, has that 50-50 number in his head. I still need to actively participate and fit where I need to fit versus the run, but also, too, because of the Cameron threat up the middle or the Gordon threat, and because of that double, I now may have to take a deeper chunk of the field, which, again, has him in a non-committal state
right.
of mind versus the run.
Which is what you want. That's going to certainly help out the ground game. 216-578-0850. We got Scott on a cell. Scott, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, you are the voice of reason with this Ray Farmer press conference.
Thank you.
So many people read things into what they want them to say, and he said exactly what he meant. Josh Gordon's got to fit in, and he said Brian Hoyer is a pro, and he's doing his job. And why we can't be happy with him winning games, ugly, however, we're winning.
Yeah, and
you're right.
I agree.
I just can't.
Sometimes people just want to find controversy. And I think in Cleveland especially, you've been dealing with, you know, failures or mediocrity for so long that you are always kind of in that controversy creating mode because that's what gets everybody going. That
yes,
kind
it does.
Of, you know, that's what is interesting. And right now, the Browns and this city have a situation with this team at 5-3 that we're not used to, which is phenomenal. I think that, you know, you got to just enjoy it. And as you've said and you've preached, you know, enjoy the moment, enjoy the next one, and we'll ride this thing out. Right now, Ray Farmer said, you know, Brian Hoyer's a pro. He's doing everything you'd want him to be doing. That's fantastic. As he talked about Josh Gordon, I thought the message delivered there was good. The message delivered about how personnel decisions will be made for this team. Excellent. And he stuck to the facts about the contracts. He's not saying, you know, could he have said, we'd love to have Brian back? Of course he could have said that. But at the same time, he said, I'm not here to talk about contracts at all. And right now, the fact of the matter is, Brian Hoyer's not under contract after the season. Johnny Manziel is. Those are just facts. That doesn't
completely
say anything about
facts.
Intention.
No.
Those are just facts.
They are. And I think also, too, the icing on the cake that brings the drama here, even in a winning scenario with Brian Hoyer as a quarterback, is the gentleman behind him. Not only and the player that he could potentially be or has been at the college level, and the personality and glitz and glamour that he brings to the game of football. Because just to sidetrack off of football, look what garners up reality TV and what it's brought to television in general in the last 5 to 7 years. You know, getting, you know, what some people think is a glimpse inside to the glitz and glamour of someone's life or this person.
Drama!
Or the drama. Again, that's drama. Exactly what Johnny wants, which is why people want answers on him. And Gerard Cherry on Really Big Show, maybe even last week and today, talked about, Would the sentiments by Cleveland or for those people that are questioning Hoyer or want those answers from Ray Farmer be the same if it was Teddy Bridgewater or Blake Bortles or Derek Carr and not Johnny Manziel sitting behind Brian Hoyer?
Theodore. I don't know.
See?
I don't know. It would be interesting. I think there's something about Johnny, but I think, you know, I think it's a good point. I think if it was Blake Bortles or Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, nobody would be saying much of anything.
Correct.
I think they'd be enjoying. Now, ultimately, I think a lot of the analysis about Brian Hoyer's play has been spot on.
Yes, absolutely.
And it just makes you want Johnny a little bit more because you think of what he can bring. The other difference is, too, is that Derek Carr and Teddy and even Bortles, they're similar. They're similarly in the sense that they're pocket passers
Correct.
Like Hoyer.
Yes.
Johnny brings that wild improv Correct. Running element that I think people want to see in this offense.
And in this case with Brian Hoyer, I think where all the Hoyer supporters and in Ray Farmer's eyes and in our eyes, the biggest trump card as to why Johnny Manziel is playing and why Brian Hoyer, with everything we've said, both good and bad about him, the trump card is winning.
Winning.
There is no decision until he proves to us that he can't win.
Right.
Consistently. And thus far, he's won consistently, which is why he will maintain with inaccurate throws and bad decisions and the league leader in potential pick sixes. He'll be our quarterback.
He's our quarterback because they've just been potential. That's true. And he finds a way to make the big throw at the end of the games, as he did last week, finding Taylor Gabriel for that touchdown. Again, our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. Your reaction to Ray Farmer's comments yesterday. What concerns you the most about the Bengals? And what's the matchup you think could decide Thursday night's game? Also, talking MVP. Who's your team MVP for the Browns at the halfway point in the season? Scott Petrak coming your way at 1:45, but we'll be back with more phone calls, 216-578-0850 on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR.